time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. God be with you. This is truly the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's based on Psalm 122, verse 1. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 118, 24. It's time for worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast, and it's Sabbath. Praise God. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Happy Sabbath. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the message. We ask that you will bless it in accordance with your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
told around the country, temperatures are dropping. It is warm in our hearts. Can we say amen? We're going to have a sermon this morning, and of course we will still have our regular live worship service at 12 on Zoom. We're going to play a message entitled Blind Submission. You know, I want to say this before we play it. When you look at what's going on in the world, when you look at how the pandemic has been handled and is being handled, there's a policy called uninformed consent. When you think about how Jesus was hated by the leaders and how they went to great lengths to keep the people from listening to Jesus, that is a tool of the devil to keep truth from people. If they didn't agree with Jesus but didn't silence him or try to kill him so his message could not get to the people, that would be okay because people would be, they would have informed consent. They would hear the traditions of the rabbis, and then they would hear the beautiful principles of Jesus, and they could choose for themselves. So blind submission, friends, it has a lot of practical applications that we need to be careful of, and we need to make sure that we don't try to have or force people to submit to us blindly. May God bless you as you listen. Blind submission.
Good morning, Chappie Seven.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's wall surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love, well supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear and want remove. Who can faint when such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. Round each habitation hovering, see the cloud and fire appear, for a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near. Bless inhabitants of Zion, wash in the Redeemer's blood. Jesus, whom their souls rely on, makes them kings and priests of God. Savior, if of Zion city I through grace a member am, let the world deride or pity, I will glory in thy name. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, or his boast and pomp and show. Soul is joy and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Soul is joy and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know.
Wow.
Amen.
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 Happy Sabbath again, everyone. Just in case there might have been a slight misunderstanding, my comment earlier was an endearing comment. Just in case in these times of racial tension it might have been misunderstood. So I just wanted to make sure that you all knew that. We have to be, what does the Bible say, wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and it also tells us to let not our good be evil spoken of. So I just wanted to give that explanation. We want to study today about blind submission. So I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads. I'm going to kneel and we'll have another prayer. Father in heaven, thank you very much for giving us enlightenment. We thank you for the word of God, and we see how that the devil wanting to place his throne in the sides of the north, if he can cause us to not investigate and then to submit to an arbitrary authority, Father, he has us in his hands. So we thank you, Lord, for deliverance, and we thank you for the word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 18, we have an understanding of what eyes mean in the Bible. The Bible says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints." And so, my brothers and sisters, when we can see, that means we have understanding. So when we are blind, that means we don't have understanding. You see, a person who is saved will have an enlightened submission. A person who is lost will have blind submission. But no matter what side you're on, you will be in a state of submission even if you don't think you are. Because if you don't think you are, you're already submitting to the devil.
Amen.
And so we want to study this subject. Blind submission is a declaration. There must be a declaration of an arbitrary authority in order for there to be blind submission. Because somebody who doesn't need to be or shouldn't be an authority claims authority in your life, in my life, in the church, or wherever it is. And so, friends, we need to understand arbitrary basically means that it's not based on solid principles. It's not based on the word of God. If I was to say, Brenda, stand up. Now, don't stand up, Brenda. But if I was to say, Brenda, stand up, and she would say, you know, I'm not feeling so well. Can you tell me why I really need to stand up? Now, I've been playing the piano. I'm not feeling my best. I said, Brenda, you stand up because I said so.
Uh-huh.
That's arbitrary authority. No good reason, no good, you know, because I'm the pastor, uh-huh, or because I drove an hour. You know, those aren't good reasons. Some of you drove longer than an hour to worship with us, okay? So that's not a good reason, brothers and sisters. And for there to be blind submission, there must be submission without investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that God never asked us to submit without investigation? Mm-hmm. Now, once we investigate and we know who he is, we don't need to be like little children. Why, Daddy? Why, Mommy? Every time he asks us to do something.
Right.
But when God gives us messages, he, or through a servant, he wants us to go investigate to make sure that it's really him speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we're going to show several instances in the Bible, Spirit of Prophecy, through history, really, where there are claims of arbitrary authority, and we see an acceptance without investigation. Because we don't want to preach too long, I'm limiting this only to that which we could say was in the church. Now, the church being from Adam's time to now. But still, there are many claims of authority. Pharaoh claimed to have arbitrary authority, but he wasn't an Adventist of his day.
Right.
Okay? So we could be here all day talking about people who claimed arbitrary authority, but we're going to limit it to those who claimed to be part of God's system. So we're going to start with Lucifer. Was he once a church member?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was.
The Bible says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Is he claiming authority?
Yes.
Is his authority genuine or arbitrary?
Arbitrary.
Why is it arbitrary? Because it's not in harmony with the Word of God. Is that true?
True.
This claim of authority is not in harmony with the Word of God. But Lucifer was a leader among the angels.
Absolutely.
Okay? As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why his deception was so powerful. So sometimes the deception of an arbitrary authoritative figure is even more deceptive when they're close to us.
Yeah.
Some things to think about, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
It says in, I'll give you the reference in the next slide, but it says many of Lucifer's sympathizers were inclined to heed the counsel of the loyal angels. So I left out some things. The loyal angels were trying to, you know, win them back and say, you guys are wrong. You shouldn't be rebelling against God's law. Many of Lucifer's sympathizers were inclined to heed the counsel of the loyal angels and repent of their dissatisfaction. And be again received to the confidence of the Father and his dear Son. The mighty revolter then declared that he was acquainted with God's law. You see, you don't have to investigate yourself. I already know, because I was the covering cherub.
Exactly.
You see, I'm the pastor.
Yeah.
You see, I'm the conference official.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm part of the general conference.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm the bishop. You see, I'm the pope.
Yep.
You see, I'm daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm husband. You see, you don't have to investigate because I've already investigated for you. You see the danger in that? That's what he did. And they were giving blind submission because they did not investigate his claim. If they had said, Jesus, Lucifer said this, Jesus would have been able to show them in love that he was wrong. But they would not investigate, friends. And that's what the devil does. That's why the devil wanted his throne to be in the sides of the north, because if he could suppress the word of God, then people would take his word over the word of God, and he would be successful. So it goes on to say, the mighty revolter then declared that he was acquainted with God's law, and if he should submit to servile obedience, his honor would be taken from him. No more would he be entrusted with his exalted mission. He told them, the other angels, that himself and they had now gone too far to turn back. Oh, brothers and sisters, how many a person has been told by the devil because they're walking in sin, you've gone too far.
Yep.
You might as well go all the way because you've already gone too far.
Yep.
Trick of the devil. And he would brave the consequences, for to bow in servile worship to the Son of God, he would never. That God would not forgive, and now they must assert their liberty and gain by force the position and authority which was not willingly accorded them. Thus, it was that Lucifer, the light-bearer, sharer of God's glory, the attendant of his throne by transgression, became Satan, the adversary.
Oh, man.
Patriarchs and Prophets, page 40. I want you to see the claim of authority. I want you to see that there is an effort to keep others from investigating the Word of God. Was it necessary then? God permits Satan to carry forward his work until the spirit of disaffection ripened into active revolt.
Mm-hmm.
It was necessary for his plans to be fully developed that their true nature and tendency might be seen by all. Patriarchs and Prophets 41. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, there's basically three major times when it was necessary. It was necessary for God to spare Lucifer and the fallen angels that the true principles or policies might be made manifest. Another time it was necessary was when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, so that people could see, as the devil would give all he had to try to kill Jesus, to try to deceive Jesus, the angels who wondered about some things and other people and other beings in other worlds, when they saw Jesus on the cross, they clearly, it wasn't till then that they had a very solid They still served God. They believed God, but there was a little bit of question. All questions in heaven were resolved at the death of Christ. There's another event that's necessary. The events that are taking place now in our country, brothers and sisters,
Amen.
That are taking away the rights of the people, they are necessary in order that the true colors of Satan can be truly understood on the earth. You see, when Jesus died on Calvary, all the people on the earth didn't understand because some of the people on the earth put him on the cross, but everybody in heaven understood. There must be another. The Battle of Armageddon, we can call it what we want. The final events of this earth's history, they must play out and they must get worse and worse. There's going to be more racial tension. There's going to be more health issues. There's going to be more financial disasters. There's going to be more weather disasters. The devil's plan has to come to full fruition. And let me share something with you that might help you as you look at all the events. God allows sin. We're told this. God allows sin to punish sin.
Amen.
When you live a sinful life, God does not always intervene. That's why he tells us not to do it, because it's just natural punishment that comes with it. There's just certain things that happen that is just cause and effect.
Yeah.
Not a good thing to sleep with somebody else's wife, somebody else's husband. Yeah. It just doesn't generally bring good results. You might even lose your life.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Called jealousy. Can we say amen?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of things. It's not good to steal the cookie from the cookie jar or grow up robbing banks. It just doesn't end well. Sin punishes sin. There has been racial issues in our country, oppression in our country. Okay? These are real things. And what you're seeing is God is allowing sin to punish sin. And guess what? If people who, instead of wanting to peacefully protest, decide to riot and loot, guess what's going to happen? God's going to allow sin to punish sin. But we, as God's people who have eyes open, we are ambassadors, brothers and sisters. I am here to tell you that as a true Christian, you will not hear this from many pulpits. As a true Christian, you should not be a Republican. And as a true Christian, you should not be a Democrat. Christ would not have been on the left or on the right. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because if I'm on the left, then I'm supporting all the policies of the left. And if I'm on the right, I'm supporting all the policies of the right. I'm responsible for what is going on. And so if I can't endorse everything that's going on, I shouldn't be there. And I know that might make you uncomfortable, but I'm here to tell you that it's a beautiful thing to be an ambassador. An ambassador solves the problems of the world. An ambassador from Christ solves the problems. You see, they're fighting over health care. Correct? Obamacare versus, that's not a good thing. You know, some people say it's a good thing, some people not. There's a healthcare crisis, right? So what does an ambassador do? Heal the sick. Can we say amen? I don't have to be left. I don't have to be right. The problem is there's too much disease. I can come as an ambassador for Christ and heal the sick. That does not make the Democrats mad. That doesn't make the Republicans mad. It honors God. There are financial problems. We can come showing how God wanted us to use our money, and no, use his money that he's lent to us. How we can get out of debt. We can teach people and help people with these financial blessings that God gives. That doesn't make the Democrats mad. That doesn't make the Republicans mad. They're fighting over a multi-trillion dollar budget and how to balance it, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be balanced since they allowed a foreign, central bank, to come into this country. Thomas Jefferson said, if we allow a central bank to come into this country, he said, our children will wake up homeless on the very ground their fathers conquered.
Yep.
You know, I have something in my wallet. Here's a dollar. If you look at this dollar closely, it's called a Federal Reserve what? Note. You got some nice cars out there in the parking lot. I should say we have some nice cars out in the parking lot. And I dare say some of us have something called a note on those cars. Can we say amen? Now, you might not want to say amen. You know you got a note. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're blessed. We have one. So the point being made, brothers and sisters, is a note is a debt instrument. Did you know that? I'm just trying to show you that it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. Because there was a central bank, the money that we have is no longer backed by gold. No solution from the Republicans can change that. No solution from the Democrats can change that. We messed up as a country when we went against what the founding fathers understood, because they realized that the feudal systems of the past were controlled and the economies were controlled by bringing in central banks. We have one. It's called the Federal Reserve, friend. Yep. It's not federal and it has no reserves.
That's right.
It's true.
That's right.
It sets up a debt system. And what you now have is not backed by gold. It's a note that pays the debt to the Federal Reserve, which is really controlled by the Illuminati or the financial leaders of this world. Yep. The Bible speaks of them, calls them the merchants. There is a marriage of the merchants and the papacy and the Protestants. The Bible speaks about it in the book of Revelation. But it says those merchants are going to watch when the final punishment comes upon the papacy, and they're going to mourn for her, you see. So I'm just sharing these things with you, brothers and sisters. I preached the sermon last Wednesday. We have prayer meeting, and it was called An Ambassador's Perspective on Black Lives Matter. That was the sermon title. You can go listen to it if you want the reference number. I'll give it to you. But the bottom line is, we are ambassadors. We don't get involved in a way that violates heavenly principles, okay, with all the issues that are facing, that we're facing today. As an ambassador, we come, in other words, what I shared on Wednesday night is, yes, I am African American, yes, I am male, and I could have other identities. I'm her husband. I can have all kinds of identities. I'm an electrician, not a master electrician like my brother, but I can call that part of my identity. But do you know that our first identity is not our race? Our first identity is not our socioeconomic class. Our first identity is not our profession. We were created and then bought again by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So our first identity is a servant of the Most High God. That kingdom should transcend whether you grew up in Germany or Portugal or Spain or America or whatever. That's our first country. Mm-hmm. We represent that country, and the Bible calls us ambassadors. And when Jesus took on human flesh, he did not make his humanity his first identity. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He said, "If my kingdom was of this world, then would my children fight." And that's what you see right now, fighting.
Yep.
And we have solutions. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up giving some blind submission, and we may not realize it, friends. So there's a lot of things going on. We're not trying to make light of it. We're not trying to take away the concepts. A lot of people don't want to admit all the sins that have happened and all of that type of thing. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that God wants us to be solution-oriented. That's all we're saying. Ambassadors from heaven are solution-oriented. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's move forward.
All right.
Let's go to the flood. It says, overcome by the prevailing unbelief, they finally joined their former associates in rejecting the solemn messages. To keep it short, I didn't give you all the quote. This is talking about those who listened to Noah's preaching. They were getting convicted at first, Sister Karen. Then it said, overcome by the prevailing unbelief, they finally joined their former associates in rejecting the solemn message. Some were deeply convicted and would have heeded the words of warning, but there were so many to jest and ridicule that they partook of the same spirit, resisted the invitations of mercy, and were soon among the boldest and most defiant scoffers, For none are so reckless and go to such lengths in sin as do those who have once had light.
Yep.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yep.
But have resisted the convicting spirit of God. Patriarchs and Prophets,
yep.
Page 95. I want you to see that the devil was actually, through these messages of these antediluvians, claiming authority. Because the true authority was invested in Noah telling them to get on the boat and save their lives. So there was a claim of arbitrary authority, and there were people that stopped investigating. They say they looked at all the majority that were ridiculing, and they looked at Noah and the few with him, and they made a fateful decision not to follow because of peer pressure. But they stopped investigating truth. What about the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11:4? And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. Is there a claim of authority? Yes, somebody's leading out. We want to find out the secrets of God. He destroyed the earth with the flood. We're not going to serve him. We're going to surpass him. We're going to build something higher than him. That's a claim of authority. And the rest of the builders did not stop to investigate. They just submitted blindly. God in his mercy didn't destroy them, but he sure confused them. And brothers and sisters, if you really want to know why, if you really want to know scientifically why some of us are darker, some of us are lighter, some of us have different kind of shaped eyes and different shapes of noses and things of this nature, that happened at the Tower of Babel because they were all one language. All. What deceives evolutionists is they can show that your body changes based on the environment. I am not bothered as much as some of you if I'm in the sun too long. Can we say amen? But when it's cold, and I have worked construction with many Caucasian friends, and I would be half freezing to death, and they would be taking their shirts off and wearing short pants, they handled cold better than I did, brothers and sisters. And we would just laugh about it and talk about it. But when it was hot, man, I could handle the heat maybe a little bit better, you know, than some of them, especially in the sun. The point being made is when you generation after generation after generation are in the hot sun, your body will make more melanocytes. And after a few generations, your children are going to start getting darker and darker and darker. And in areas where there's not much sun, you will lose melanocytes generation after generation after generation so that you can absorb as much as you can get from what's little there. And so when God created that dispersion, some people went to Arctic lands, and when you look at the facial features of an Eskimo, their skin features, it is made to live in a winter, in a perpetual winter storm. They live in an igloo. Can you imagine that? And when you go to Africa and you see the constant beating down of the sun, brothers and sisters, they're made to handle that. God made one race called the human race, but after generations and generations and hundreds and thousands of years, the body does change. So evolutionists see these things and they say, okay, so that means if we just go back a billion years, see, you used to be a monkey, you know, and you used to be this. But they actually can document certain changes that do take place evolutionary. So the evolution message is not totally anti-biblical. It's just that it has to be in the framework of the Bible. This earth is 6,000 years old, brothers and sisters, no more, no less. Well, I shouldn't say no, but you understand what I mean by that. It's around 6,000 years. As a matter of fact, we actually know when the 6,000th year was. Did you know that? It's 2027. Let me tell you how we know. In the spirit of prophecy, it tells us that it was 2,000 years from the time that the serpent was told that his head would be bruised. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that it was 2,000 years from that to the baptism of Jesus. That's AD 27. Unless she was just speaking in a figurative term. You know how, like if I'm in my 50s, I'm actually 52, I say, yeah, I'm around 50, you know.
All right.
as we get older, we kind of like to use those round terms, and we like to round down, you know me, okay? So unless she was speaking in a figurative term, if she was speaking in the literal sense, then A.D. 27 was 4,000 years. If I said 2,000, I meant 4,000. She said it was 4,000 years from the snake's sentence to the baptism of Jesus. 2027 would therefore be the 6,000th year. Now, God does work on numbers. Seven is a perfect number. I do believe somewhere around that 6,000th year, we're going to enter into a new millennium. Maybe a little bit before, maybe a little bit after. Am I time setting? Absolutely not. I don't know. We have tarrying principles. We have principles that say, I'll cut it short in righteousness. Okay? So we don't know exact dates, but friends, Jesus is coming soon. That's the point we want to leave you with or say at this time. Jesus is coming very, very soon. And, you know, we're already in 2020. 7 years is very, very short time. And so, my brothers and sisters, there was, in the Tower of Babel, there was a arbitrary authority claim, and the people building the tower did not seek to investigate what is of us said the Lord about this. Blind submission. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have now imagined to do. Go to, now let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. That's Genesis 11, 6 through 8. What about the rebellion of Korah? We're only talking about things that happen in the church. We know that God set up Moses. He set up Aaron. But then there were men called Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they actually rebelled against that. Therefore, they were claiming arbitrary authority, and they didn't want it to be investigated through the word of God. Therefore, they were claiming or promoting that the people should render to them blind submission. The Bible says in Numbers 16:3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Friends, we know what happened. God told through Moses, the people, separate from them, and they had to separate. The ground opened up, closed up, and that was the end of that rebellion. And Moses said, hereby, this is Numbers 16:28-30, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quickly into the pit, then shall ye understand these men have provoked the Lord.
Yeah.
King Saul. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul claimed arbitrary authority. He led out. He told the people, go, take some of the spoil. Then he later said it was the people that said it. No, they were directed by Saul to take the spoil. Okay? And so he had arbitrary authority, and he demanded blind submission. He didn't want them to say, well, what does the Lord say about this, King Saul? I want you all to see, I want us to see, blind submission is the problem. It's the problem whenever we're tempted. Whenever we're tempted, an entity of authority called a demon or an unholy angel is telling us, commanding us to do something we ought not. And then, if we don't investigate what God says about it, we have rendered blind submission to that demon, and we fall into temptation, into sin. What about the Jewish church? The Bible says in John 8, verses 39 to 40, and they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Did the Jewish church demand blind submission? Yes. And they demanded it, especially when they cried, crucify him. Excuse me, crucify him. They didn't want the people to investigate the word of God, which is what Jesus was having them to investigate. Mark 15, 13 through 15, and they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? Do we see what's going on here?
Yeah.
This is the secular governor trying to release the Son of God. And his own church is saying, crucify him. The governor, the evil Pilate, what has he done? And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Brothers and sisters, I don't think I have it in the slide, but if you go to one of the Gospels, I forget exactly the verse, but it tells us, and you have to know the history, when Pilate in this story was wanting to release Jesus, they said, if you release him, you are not Caesar's friend. You remember that? Well, a lot of people don't know what that's all about. Tiberius Caesar was mentioned in Daniel 11 as the vile one who would come after the raiser of taxes. Caesar Augustus was the raiser of taxes. Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to pay taxes in the time of Caesar Augustus. Well, when he died, the one who succeeded him was his stepson, Tiberius Caesar. And he was known as a tyrant of tyrants. If he even thought you might not be 100% loyal, he sent a delegation and wiped you out.
Wow.
Killed you. Many an innocent person died because Tiberius Caesar put fear, because Tiberius Caesar thought they weren't 100% loyal. Okay? Because of this, the Jews, Brother Peter,
they
blackmailed Pilate. They were basically saying, if you let him go, we're going to send a message to Tiberius and letting him know you're conspiring with this new king to usurp him. If you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. And the very next verse in the Bible, when it says that, says, when he heard these things, he started thinking about washing his hands of the whole issue.
Yeah.
So, brothers and sisters, blind submission. The Jewish church, blind submission. They claimed arbitrary authority. They wouldn't accept the authority of Christ. And they did not want the people to investigate the scriptures regarding their claim. So now we move into the Christian church, which became the Roman Catholic Church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a what? Falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is what, everybody?
Worshipped.
So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. They took over, they hijacked the Christian church. They claimed, as they still claim, that they have authority above the Bible. They claim arbitrary authority, and they demand that we submit to them without investigating the scriptures. Is that true or is that false? We know the Dark Ages. It's true. Brothers and sisters, their reign, so we would know clearly who the main players are in the great controversy, was mentioned a perfect number of times. 7 times. The Roman Catholic Church rule was mentioned in the Bible. In Daniel 7:25, where it would wear out the saints for a time and dividing of time. Daniel 12:7, where persecution would come, and then after that some things would take place, then Jesus would come, was said to be after the time and a half. In Revelation 11, the Bible was suppressed, the two witnesses, Old and New Testament, for 40 and 2 months. Also said to be 1,203 score days in verse 3. And then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, the woman, the church, would flee from the serpent, where she was nourished and by the earth, by areas of obscurity, including the United States, for 1,203 score days, or at least the United States could be considered the earth, because after that they would go to the earth. But until then, it was the literal earth or the wilderness that God's people would go to. 1,203 score days. Verse 14 calls it time, times, and a half. And then the same prophecy is mentioned in Revelation 13:5 as 42 months, where arbitrary authority ruled was the rule of law, friends, and submission was required. We have to be careful because we might actually have some of the same problems and not realize it. So then you have the Protestant churches. I'm talking about before the Advent movement, okay? Or before the Seventh-day Adventist Church was established, all right? It says of the Protestants, which started during the reign of the papacy, it says the principles contained in this celebrated protest constitute the very essence of Protestantism. Now, this protest opposes two abuses in matters of faith. Listen carefully. The first is the intrusion of the civil magistrate. We just saw that with the Supreme Court ruling. During COVID-19, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, the government can tell the church when to open, how many people can be in, how far apart they have to be, so on and so forth. Supreme Court. Brothers and sisters, we're in the last days. Some people say, oh, that's not a big thing. Yes, that is a precedent.
Yes, that is a big thing.
The government can tell the church what to do.
Uh-huh.
The government can tell the church when you can worship. Is not Sabbath a when you can worship issue?
Yes.
Okay. And it says, the first is the intrusion of the civil magistrate, and the second, listen carefully, the arbitrary authority of the church. Does the church, if it's God's church, have authority?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it arbitrary?
No.
No. Not supposed to be. So, if it's arbitrary, we're supposed to protest. That is the very essence of Protestantism.
Yeah.
That's what the word says. I didn't make this up. It says the protest was the very essence of Protestantism. It opposes two abuses, and the second one was the arbitrary authority of the church. When a church is no longer following a thus saith the Lord, my brothers and sisters, their claim of authority is arbitrary. That's what the Lord says. But the devil doesn't want you to investigate that so that you'll just render blind submission. And that's what happened. So as we get into the Protestant movement, you're going to find that the Protestants, brothers and sisters, were God's church. We don't really think of it that way, but that's really what it was. You have the Jewish dispensation, you have the Christian dispensation, which moved into the Catholic system, and then the Protestant movement before the Seventh-day Adventist Church was formed. God's true church were composed of Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. They were in several denominations, but he was bringing the enlightenment of the message in 1844 to them prior to 1844. Okay? There was a time, in other words, where if you were Baptist, you were not part of Babylon. Did you know that? Study it, friends. She'll tell you they became Babylon by rejecting the first angel's message. That means if they became Babylon, they couldn't have been Babylon before. So you were considered part of God's movement if you were Lutheran. You were considered part of God's movement if you were Presbyterian. You were considered part of God's movement if you were Baptist. But after they rejected the first angel's message, the call that Jesus is coming soon and thus the judgment was to begin, then as they became scoffers, the churches became part of Babylon. That's why the second angel's message says what? Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Ellen White, commenting on that, says this does not refer to the Roman Catholic Church, for they have been in a fallen state for centuries. Okay? So I just want us to understand our history, or we will make the mistakes that others have made. Listen carefully to this. As his, William Miller's work, tended to build up the churches, it was for a time regarded with favor. But as ministers and religious leaders decided against the Advent doctrine, and desire to suppress all agitation. We're going to talk about arbitrary authority and the suppression of truth. All agitation of the subject, they not only opposed it from the pulpit, but denied their members the privilege of attending preaching upon the second advent. You are my member. You're not, Sally, allowed to go to hear those Adventists. Is that arbitrary authority? Yes. That's what happened, friends. These were Protestants. Thus, the believers found themselves in a position of great trial and perplexity. They loved their churches and were loath to separate from them. But as they saw the testimony of God's word suppressed and their right to investigate the prophecies denied, they felt that loyalty to God forbade them to submit. Those who sought to shut out the testimony of God's word, they could not regard as constituting the Church of Christ, the pillar and ground of the truth. That's 1 Timothy, I think, 3:15. Hence, they felt themselves justified in separating from their former connection. In the summer of 1844, about 50,000 withdrew from the churches. Now, of that 50,000, most of those were tested. They were not sincere. They were not ready. And 49,950 went back. How many does that leave? 50 people started the Seventh-day Adventist Church, brothers and sisters. With all this history, brothers and sisters, do you think that God would want us as Seventh-day Adventists or the Seventh-day Adventist Church to have arbitrary authority? No. We should be like Paul. Paul said of the Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that what? They received the word of God with all readiness of mind and then what? Search the scriptures to see whether those things were so. My brothers and sisters, that's the attitude of a true leader. That's an attitude of a true church. The true church should welcome investigation of its beliefs, of its teachings, of its prophecies. A pastor should say, check me out from the Bible. And if you find something, please show me. That's what the Bible teachers taught. That's how Peter taught. That's how Paul taught. There's a famous phrase that says this. Truth can always bear the test of what? Investigation. When you see the tendency to resist investigation, please know it's probably not the truth. I share something when I give a Bible study, and this is what I say when I give the Bible study. If I have to neglect or reject something God has said to believe this doctrine cannot be true. Whatever the doctrine is, do you believe that? If I have to neglect or reject something God has said in order to believe this doctrine, whatever it is, that doctrine cannot be true. Because if it's truth, you don't have to reject or neglect anything God said, because all truth comes from Him. So friends, we have to keep our minds open, continue to study, and move forward. All right, that was for the sake of the recording. That was Great Controversy, the 1888 edition, page 375. Now we get a little uncomfortable because what's on the screen says Seventh-day Adventist Church. But all I'm going to show you is that the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy encouraged us to stick with that plan of making sure that we were not practicing arbitrary authority. And that was a solid principle. Ellen White said in Loma Linda Messages, she talked about some things that were happening, and as a result of those things, the church members were getting a false education. I didn't make this up. I'm only reading from the Word of God through the Spirit of Prophecy. Loma Linda Messages, page 221 says, the exercise of authority has been carried to such extremes that it is now time to call a halt. That was 100 years ago. For the church members are receiving a what? False education. We've been taught wrong, brothers and sisters, about the authority of the church. And most Seventh-day Adventists think the church has arbitrary authority, and that the arbitrary authority of the church is legitimate authority. It's not, friends. No arbitrary authority is legitimate. I don't have arbitrary authority in my home. I can't tell my wife to do something that violates biblical principles. That would be arbitrary authority. And if she did it without investigation, she would have to answer to God for blind submission. God doesn't require blind submission. So these principles, brothers and sisters, are powerful, beautiful principles. They are not principles of rebellion. They are principles that would make the church stronger. Let all bear in mind that whatever men have said or ever may say is of value only as far as the Word of God can endorse and sustain their opinion. That's 17 manuscript, page 226. So everything that comes and is taught in the church, if the Word of God cannot endorse it, brothers and sisters, it shouldn't have the value that it often has. Can a church, the question is asked, be the voice of God? The answer is yes. And it's going to tell us how the church can be the voice of God. It says in Desire of Ages 805, she, the church, must say about sin what God says about it. She must deal with it as God directs. And her action is ratified in heaven. Did you know that? When the church deals with sin the way God says it should be dealt with, heaven ratifies it. This is a statement in reference to whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This is in reference to scriptures that talk about if your brother offends you, go tell him. Matthew 18, exactly. And then if he won't hear you, take one or two others. If they won't hear you, tell to the church. And if they don't hear the church, let them be as a publican and a sinner. Okay? Causing problems within the church was an offense that was supposed to cause disfellowship. We have so much division in our church. God prized unity so much. We get disfellowship for having Bible studies. And I'm telling you the truth. People that I personally know have been disfellowshipped because they had private Bible studies and the pastor didn't like it. So he took them to the board and disfellowshipped them. Friends, that's not a reason for disfellowship, having a Bible study.
In America?
In America, yes, ma'am. But those pastors weren't converted. And I am not saying that is all pastors. I am saying it has happened. I know it has happened because I've seen it happen on more than one occasion. Okay? But when somebody would gossip around the church and talk about people and keep a bunch of mess, that was cause for disfellowship. That was cause for the church to say, you need to be quiet. You need to stop saying what you're saying. How many people are disfellowship for that? Very few, friends. I don't know of any, to be honest with you. Is the church always the voice of God? Now, we learned that it can be as long as it echoes what God says. But is the church always the voice of God? Listen to what Ellen White said. My spirit, did I give the reference? I'm going to make sure I gave the reference for that last quote. Desire of Ages 805 was she must say what God says about sin. Okay, we got that one. Is the church always the voice of God? Listen to this quotation from the Word of God through the Spirit of Prophecy. My spirit was pained within me, for I had lost confidence in that which I had ever presented before the people as the voice of God to his children. It has not been the voice of God. She's talking about the General Conference. The church is not always the voice of God. If it's not teaching what God said, that's not rebellion. That's Protestantism. That's the freedom in Jesus. That's the spirit of investigation that God requires of us all, friends. Their own principles have been counterworking the principles of truth and righteousness. It says, we cannot therefore present before the people that the voice of the General Conference in its decisions must move and control them. For its propositions and decisions cannot be accepted. That is not from Shellam Flemons. That is from 17 manuscript relief, pages 221 and 222. So if you want to get mad at anybody, you need to get mad with God. Amen? Amen. Look at what Ellen White says in 1888 Material 1592. His servants are to be circumscribed by no man or council of men unless they have decided evidence that these men or council of men are worked by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when they tell you to do this, they tell you to do that. You should only do it if you have clear evidence that these people are worked by the Holy Spirit. That was a prophet to the church speaking, brothers and sisters. This is Ellen White's last statement about the voice of God, the General Conference, and it happened just before her death. Because people will take that first statement and they'll say, yes, yes, there were some problems, but they got it all, and then she got her confidence back. And this is the last one. She said, it will take much close, hard watching on our part, on the part of the, let me start all over. It will take much close, hard watching on the part of the conference officers to uproot the spirit of self-exaltation. This must be done before the true character of their work is understood, and it is clearly seen that human wisdom cannot take the place of the wisdom from above.
Amen.
Much more must be done to uproot fully the fibers of this erratic human power exercised as authority, as though it were the voice of God. That is letter 8, 1910. My brothers and sisters, we have to be wise. We have to be like the noble Bereans. If it's on your job, if you are a child and there is a parent, and obviously we're older, but even our little children, the Bible says, obey your parents. How? In the Lord, for this is right. In your home, on your job, God never endorsed arbitrary authority. Some of us have been in marriages, and those marriages weren't good because husband, and believe it or not, it can even be wives, exercise arbitrary authority, a controlling spirit, a spirit that says, if I can't rule you, I'm going to ruin you.
Uh-huh.
You know that one of the most pointed testimonies in the spirit of prophecy was to a man whose wife would rule him or ruin him. And you know what she told that man? And it will shock you. She said, take her back to her mother. It is there. It's there. If you need it, I'll show it to you. It says, in other words, separate. Take her back to her mother, for she created this problem. That's the one of few times, brothers and sisters, to separate a husband and a wife. That's a very serious thing, to separate a husband and a wife. It should almost never be done. But
right.
When there is arbitrary authority and it has reached the point where if I can't rule you, I'm going to ruin you, your first allegiance is to God. As a woman, as a man, your first allegiance is to God. You cannot submit to that authority, or you will lose your salvation. Brothers and sisters, I believe every temptation is going to come down to this. Am I going to submit? No. Am I going to recognize the authority, even if it's arbitrary? And will I give submission to that authority? Submission is biblical, but God's submission is enlightened submission. Our text for this morning, which was read, John 7:17. Jesus said that if we want to do the Father's will, we need to know the doctrine. In other words, you need to know your Bible. Then you'll know whether I'm speaking of myself or what I... In other words, you will know whether what I said came from Him or whether I made it up myself. I'm paraphrasing the verse.
All right.
So if Jesus did not demand blind submission, we read Paul didn't demand blind submission, Peter didn't demand blind submission, why do we have blind submission today? Something's wrong. And we need to understand that we are saved as individuals. Now, individuals can group together and a whole family can be saved. Can we say amen? Families can group together and a whole church can be saved. But you're saved as an individual. In the books of heaven, it doesn't say Inwood Seventh-day Adventist Church or any other group. It says your name. Is your name written there? The song says. Friends, we've got to have that kind of close walk with Jesus where he can talk to us. We will go, we will investigate, we will check things out in his word, my friend. May the Lord bless us as we continue to with our service at this time with a closing song, God Be With You. We're just going to sing the first and last stanzas, then we'll have our benediction with our prayer. So let's stand and sing song number 65, please. The last slide on the screen says blind submission leads to Satan worship. How many of us want to keep worshiping God with enlightened submission and not blind submission? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the word of God. The devil doesn't want us to investigate this word and have enlightened submission. He wants us to listen to man's opinions, man's authority, the authority of demons, Father, that lead us astray. We ask that you would help us, that we will be found faithful always in submission to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. We will see you all at 12 o'clock on our Zoom call. May God bless you. We want to thank you for joining us from Ohio and Maryland and Delaware and Delaware again and New Jersey, from Ohio, from Oklahoma, from Georgia, and from South Carolina. Of course, for your servants here in Pennsylvania, may God be with you. Let's have our closing prayer. Father, be with us today. We want to thank you very much for the love you have for us. We want to give you glory and honor and praise. We want to thank you for truth. We want to thank you for the opportunity to serve. As we are here serving in medical missionary lines in our retreat, we ask that you would bless us, that will be done. There's a gentleman here that is in need of much healing. And so we just ask, Lord, that you will bless us as we work with him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.